Hallelujah. Father, we're grateful for this morning. Thank you, because it's the last Sunday of the year. We're grateful, January till now, because your faithfulness persisted and persists. We're thankful for our meetings, what you've done through our meetings this year. Thank you for folks who have received through our meetings spiritual growth, spiritual development. We ask you. We thank you, rather, for every heart that has received clarity, your will, your purposes, and your plans. All our meetings through the year, car meetings, special meetings, retreats, Sunday morning meetings and Thursday evening meetings, workers' meetings, workers' fellowships, workers' trainings. Thank you for every meeting of two or three out there in outreach, soul winning, discipleship, follow up, checkups, visitations. We thank you for every meeting that you have held through us, through our church, in and outside this auditorium. We're grateful. We thank you for that which you have been able to achieve through us. We're grateful. We're grateful through the year. January, February, to March, down to May, August, November, December. We're grateful. Grateful for health that got better and all that God healed this year. We're grateful for every need met financially, materially. We thank you for new families that were brought together and are being built up by your word and by your spirit. We thank you for every home established and fixed. We thank you for the spread of your word in every family this year. Yep, parents, siblings, children alike, coming into the knowledge of your word. We thank you. Even in our individual lives, every thing you've helped us to achieve. And for every impact on other people's lives, positive, that you have made possible to us. Lord, we're grateful. We just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We're grateful. We ask again this morning, or obviously beyond, that our meetings remain the same as they glorify your name. Much more as a song in the sun. We said days ahead are better. Yes, our trust, our confidence is in your name. We ask and receive this. In the name of Jesus, that the days ahead of us are full of your glory, are full of your might. They are full of clarity, they are full of hope, and they are full of faith. We ask, that just as there is none in the present weak, it will not be a harvest of weaknesses. It will be days of your strength. Strength and increase, sources, virtue, even men, in your walk and your vineyard. We ask and receive. That which you do much more. Yes, yes, like the songwriter says, that we thirst for what you do, we thirst for your, we thirst for more of what you say, what you do, more of the things that you do in the nations of the earth. Our church, consecrated to your plans and purposes, we thank you and we thirst for more. We ask, oh God, that you make here a site and a spot, a ground for the move of your spirit in every heart here, as we hunger and pant together as one heart. We ask, O Lord, the days ahead will also be seasons of increase in unity and the bond of peace, one-mindedness, even love, the bond of perfection, that bond through which you are able to achieve much more beyond every other virtue. We ask, O God, this morning, and beyond, that our meetings continue to be moments of refreshing and encounter with revelation, insight, clarity, your plans and purposes make known, revealed in every heart, the light of your word coming forth, compelling power to do, with strength of will to do, promoting and inspiring willingness, yieldedness in every heart, even in the new year. We ask this in the name of your Son, that through the move of your Spirit, We will walk in your plans and purposes the more, taking seed to the ministry and seeing your hand in our natural lives as we cast our cares upon you. Yes, because we know your eyes are upon us, are over us. We ask, oh God, again and again, that in these meetings in the new year, your plans and purposes are established. Men get better, men are made stronger, ministries are made stronger. Yep, natural and in the spiritual, we are made better. When we say the communities are better, our desire, our trust is in you. You will help us. You will help us. You will help us. You will help us in this assembly. You will help us. Help us. You help us. Yes, this morning, it's revelation in your word. It's clarity. Questions are answered. Yep. We are made much more better, wiser, and smarter, more intelligent. As we discover the wealth, the riches, the plans and purposes in our relationships, we're made better in how we handle it, how we take advantage of our being together. We ask this morning, O Lord, that you flood our heart with insight. Every thought is made much more rearranged, made much more precise, united with your word. We ask, there's no doubt in our heart this morning, but questions are answered. Yep. As we come to a greater clarity, as touching your will, even your image, functioning in our relationships, we ask through the new year, the wisdom of relationships is made manifest in our endeavors, natural ministry, in and outside of church, in our families, our siblings, our relationships, our businesses. We are better than the relationships. We ask this, refuse everything remaining to conclude these thoughts in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. These are heads are better. Amen. Let's have the word of God and then let's have Sunday. Hallelujah. Matthew's gospel is our text. I was tempted to have a kind of end of the year service, but it's the end of the year service. Are we together? Are we together? Right. So we're asking, are we going to have crossover night? Well, I know there will be a night. I know I'll be awake. I'll be awake. There will be a night. I'll be awake. So I'll just put my legs over each other at 11:59 and lift my legs at 12:01. Is that not crossover? The phone. Praise God. We are not going to have a service where I say, hold your heads, shake it 7 times. Then Bro Pekulia will go about with a box of Goya oil. They anoint it. They anoint your forehead. Say, thou hast anointed my head. Then it is my cup runneth over. What's the correlation? Head cup. It is with the oil of gladness, not with Goya oil. Are we together? Some of you think the oil of gladness is Goya oil. Like someone like that went to visit someone, or someone came to visit brother, and maybe they used Goya oil to fry egg. Yeah. So the person who owned the house was very angry because it was a pastor. So he sent the person packing. He said, oil is oil. Yeah. I mean, you came, well, how did you two do it? You came to visit me. There's no oil in the house. Go to the street and buy oil because you want to eat. Then you didn't find the oil in the kitchen. He saw it in the sitting room under a center table. And something told you. What told you? Because it's not who, it is what told you. So you take the oil and then you go to the kitchen. And then you light the gas. And you pour the oil. Then you fry the rice with Goya oil found under the center table. Beside the Bible. Praise God. But oil is oil. Are we together? Right. Oil is oil. It's a vegetable oil, you know. But it's fine though. I think in the new year we'll take our Bible seminars. The first Bible seminars we're going to be holding. I mean, we have a seminar. Well, Bible seminar is not holding today. Okay, I'm sorry. I said we're having a seminar at 1 p.m. today. We'll hold it much more later in the week. Praise God. All right, mind me, I have a lot of logistics just flying in my head and all that, so it's fine. Don't worry, I'll become a better pastor with time, okay? All right. So, in the new year, we'll have, I think, one look at sacraments. Some of you are hearing that word for the first time. Sacraments. We'll look at, sacramental practices and ordinances in Christianity, the likes of, want to answer basic questions. I think in January, we'll be answering questions around January, February. I want to be a better pastor this year. He will say it. He will not tell us later that. Praise God. All right. So, well, when I say things like that, it's to show you my desire. Okay? I want to. All right. So, we'll look at the doctrine of the communion this January or February. I know some of you have been wondering that. Why are we not chopping? Sorry. Why are we not eating Holy Communion in this church? Why are we not eating Holy Communion? We want to eat Holy Communion. We want to eat Holy Communion. So, because some of you came, or maybe you are used to, or you have seen, or you have been to places where they eat communion, bread and wine, and then they told you that the bread is the body of Jesus. Bread that was made in Agege. They say, is the body of Jesus. So you... And then they said, the wine is the blood of Jesus. And then you wonder, but this is not the wine that Jesus drank. They say, when we take the body and the blood of Jesus, we are obeying Jesus. But this is not the one he asked us. If you see the kind of wine that Jesus drank and asked us to drink, you won't come to church again. Go read your Bible. The wine is not the one you are drinking today. This one is even colored. It's now sweet. When Jesus was suffering, was it sweet? What Jesus took was to mirror his suffering. It was, do you know agbo? How many of you have taken agbo before? Agbo. That when you take it, when you take agbo, it's because you have fever. Now, fever is that something is affecting you. That's a plasmodium, is it falciparum? Alright. Or is it malaria? No, it's falciparum. Alright. So falciparum is boxing you. So when you take that agbo, both the boxer and the boxing, the agbo, both of us shake two of you. Before the original one, now last. So you are the original one. The malaria is the one that entered, is the fake one. So, but it will first of all shake both you and the malaria. So that's why you don't get yourself. You will not know whether you are the malaria or the malaria will not know whether it is the malaria. Everything just, they have to say why. Okay. Okay, I'm the human being. I'm not the malaria and all that. So, that is how the communion wine should taste. This day we just have a way of doing things the way we want it. No, if you really want to do it. And when he says bread, he says unleavened bread. I will bring both one of these days. Maybe we'll do it once. We will now agree if we want to continue. But the ushers will not take it so that they can catch people. We will now agree whether we want to continue regularly. So let's look at the communion. Are we together? The communion. What is the bread? Because later on, Paul now taught the bread. He says, you are the bread. Now, some of you are thinking, ow, that's the purpose of teaching. Is it clear? He now says, you are the bread. So, don't be wondering that. Why are you not? Don't worry. So, we'll look at that in our Bible study. See, this year, we are going to do a lot of things through the Bible seminar. So, just try and be present in the Bible seminar. Is it clear? Try to be there. Try to be at the Bible seminars. They will look at
the tithe also. The tithe. You know? Don't say, I have not given my tithe and it is not tithe for me. It is because, though you are in disobedience, are we together? If you don't give. But what exactly about tithe and tithing and all of that? So we need one look at it this January. Is it clear? Bible teaching, Bible doctrine, or Bible truth? I think we should title the Bible truth. Bible truth on tithe and tithing. Maybe we just will come out, what is tithe? That T-I-G-H-T. So we say tithe, T-I-T-H-E, tithing, T-I-T-H-I-N-G. Then, what is tithe? T-I-G-H-T. Alright, so what exactly is tithe? Alright, so look at that. Then, among sacramental practices, we'll look at, we'll look at oil, okay? Anointing. One of the questions on anointing. So, the anointing, we look at anointing oil. Then maybe we answer the question, who really is the anointed? Are we together? Who really is the anointed? Then maybe we look at holy water. No, holy water. I don't even know holy water. You know what holy water is? So you are not putting your hands up again. I know holy water. Those days. We'll carry water to Orioke. We will open the cover to now be there for hours. So that, I don't know, if the power of God needs the lid to be open. For us to enter fast, you know, maybe the bottle will hinder the power of God to be entering small, small. But when you open it, the power of God will rush into it. They now take holy water. Are we together? And then what happens? Don't say, but when we take communion, or when we use oil, or when we take holy water, the sick get healed. We'll look at that also. The fact that you saw God's intervention does not mean you are in obedience. Are we together? So we'll look at that also. And when we see God's intervention, what exactly is God doing? Is God endorsing such practices when he intervenes? Or is he just being faithful and honoring faith? And then we'll look at all that and few others, okay? So that's what's ahead of us this January. I think this year, I'll practically teach more than I've taught in all previous years. This year. And we trust God to pray more, to have more people reached with the gospel. Are we together? And to hold more meetings in the church, including very informal meetings. Hold more meetings in and through the church this coming year. So it's a busy year. And we welcome it, right? We cast our cares on the Lord, right? We sang the song earlier. Needs are going to be met this year in a greater measure. Are we together? Right. And many more things will happen this year, obviously, in greater measures. Are we ready for the word? Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel, still looking at relationships. I talk about this today, and I don't know, I need a time of the week to conclude this subject. I think I just want one more session and I will conclude. So whatever I'm not able to talk about under this subject in this session today and in the one more session, I will move it into the next time I'm revisiting this, which most likely will be our first teaching series in the year. Are we together? Alright. So, Matthew's Gospel. Go ye and teach all nations. 19. If you look at verse 18 of Matthew 28, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Are we together? Obviously, if you look at the word, you just see something there. You look at, I think it was, what's his name now? That was Luke. Luke is just, I don't know, I like him a lot. Yeah, I like him a lot. Now obviously, when Matthew uses the word amen, are we together? He used the word amen, you know, the word amen there actually is, it doesn't make sense if it is just to fill the slot. Amen. You know, when he says that I have commanded you and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, then he says amen. Is it prayer? It's not a prayer, obviously. The statement before the amen is not a prayer. Are we together? So the word amen is the writer actually saying something. I'm sure we're going to study that much later in the year when we look at the name of Jesus. What a beautiful study. I've been wanting to teach three subjects over the years, for about 6 years now, and I think I'll start teaching it in 2026. I want to teach on the teaching ministry of Jesus. I'll teach on the healing ministry of Jesus. I'll teach on the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The teaching ministry of Jesus. The healing ministry of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So look at this. So he says that, amen. And I said that the use of the word amen there is deliberate. The writer is communicating something to you, you know. And that word amen is a language of continuity. And you observe that the various writers used it. You know, Mark also used it. Amen. Mark uses it. Mark, he writes in Mark 16, and after writing verse 20, he adds the word amen to that. Are we together? You also find Luke uses it, and then Luke uses it, and then, you know, he's used it in Luke 24. That'll be verse what now? That's not verse 50. That'll be verse what? 53. Are we together? And John also uses it. I think in John, that'll be verse 25. John, verse 25. He also uses the word amen. And when they use those words amen, they were communicating something very definite. Are we together? Which we'll go see later on. Actually, it's a statement of continuity. Amen is like saying God fulfilled it. Are we together? God fulfilled it. That's amen. Now, obviously, if we say God fulfilled it, I think the better way to put it is not God fulfilled it, even though that's what amen means, but amen means God is fulfilling his promise. So that statement, amen, extends the books, the content in the books, or, let me put it differently, the statement, amen, at the end of each book is to show us that the work of God that was explained or described in the book is still ongoing today. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? So look at this. The statement amen turns each synoptic account into a prophecy. In as much as you are reading history and you are reading theology, adding the word amen by the writer points to you that the work is still ongoing. Jesus is still repeating all that we just read that he did. Are we together? Well, we'll talk about that much later on. So in the same Matthew, in Matthew 18, we saw relationships spoken from there. Let's move past Matthew 18. In Matthew 19, which is our text. So it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea, and beyond Jordan. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Hallelujah. Jesus is still healing. So he says in verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for, you said, any cause? Look into your Bible. Or you don't have a Bible? You don't have a Bible? Do you have one? Alright, use it. Praise God. Use your Bible. Amen. So he says, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife
for every cause. Then he answered and said unto them, have you not read?
Hallelujah.
So don't forget what we said on Thursday. And you know, on Thursday, I took a thought. Right? I was talking about hermeneutics for a while. So talking about Bible hermeneutics for a while on Thursday. You know, we said that Jesus is a teacher from the Old Testament. Right? Right? He is a teacher from the Old Testament. And then we said that, you know, if he's teaching from the Old Testament, he will, you know, for Moses and then other writers, right? So I won't talk about that hermeneutics part now. I'll just move on. Talk about the image of God. So he said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them what? Male and female. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave what? To his wife. So, you look at something. They asked a question. And what does Jesus do? Jesus took them to the image of God text. What have we said from these verses so far? You know, we spoke about the permissive, what we call the permissive will of God, right? We said it is not for you. It is not for you. It is not for you. Are we together? It is not for you. Now, let's look at something briefly. Okay? Do I have your attention? Let's look at something briefly. Alright. Look at Exodus text. Now, I've explained to you that the Exodus audience, is it the same as the Genesis audience? Yes. Is it the same as the Deuteronomy, the Exodus audience? Is it the same as the Deuteronomy audience? Thank you. Alright. So, look at Exodus slowly. So he says the image of God. Don't forget what we have said about the image of God. Man was created to bear what? God's image. That's what it means to be in his image. To bear God's image. And we said that image of God is functional, right? Right? It is functional means it is via functioning. Amen. The image of God is by functioning, is by activity, okay? It's not a title. We have said that. Then what else have we said about the image of God? We said the image of God is a collective what? Function. That is, all of humanity will function in that image. Amen? So our teaching so far has been corrective. I believe so. Has it been corrective? Have you been corrected in the teaching so far? Has it been informative? Has it been instructive? Thank you. So, look at the Exodus text. Let's see something in Exodus 20. Good. I have just about an hour. Exodus 20. Now, in Exodus 20, we see the what we call the Ten Commandments. Okay? Whereas, you know, the better way to put them is not Ten Commandments. The better way to put them is 10 words. Or 10, you know, if they 10 laws, same as 10 commandments, but it is 10 words. 10 words. Moses summarized God's counsel to Israel in 10 words. Now, remember, I taught us some years ago that, the 10 commandments are not legalism.
You can see them as some do's and don'ts, but that's not all there is to them. Ten Commandments is actually, you know, God's caution for Israel. God's caution. I'm sure we'll talk about that in our Christology later on, because I think we are on the current study, right? The Law of Moses, isn't it? Okay. So, Law of Moses 2. We are on it. Alright. So, he says, and God speak all these words. Do you see that? They are words. They are 10 words. God speak all these words, saying. Now, look at verse 7. That's where my focus is. I want us to read verse 7 together. Everybody. Want to go? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in what? Vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, you know, if you have come across this text before, if you are like me, what I've understood from this text very long time ago is that don't call the name of God in vain, right? Alright. That means if anything, you just say, Jesus, you are going to be in trouble. Maybe because Jesus is busy. And then when you say Jesus, just, so what is dropping? Just fell down. And then he looked at him. Said, why did you call me? I'm just liking your name. I see that. I was molding a human being. Now the neck is long. It's on you. They say, don't call the name of God in vain. Right? Even though the word call is not there, we just smuggled it. Firewall, just smuggled. He says, thou shalt not what? Take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Are we together? So, but we have explained that, oh, it means don't just call your name. Or maybe something I will just say, or long, but something like that. I don't know if you have done it before. Or long, but if you have not done it before, you are lying. If you are in primary school, he said, Olongbo. Olongbo. He said, he said you should not call his name in vain. His name is not even Olong. But it's fine. Praise God. He said, Dawisha, don't call his name in vain. Oh, I'm seem to have forgotten those distances. Yeah? And he says, yeah, he just said, oh, yeah, say God. Because you are lying, you're not able to say God. Some of us are so stubborn that even in the midst of lying, so in your heart, you know that, Isha can't kill me. He said, say God. He did not say God. The person that says he said God knows that, he's lying. But you have said God. You have said God. You, God, and the person that says he said God knows that you are lying. And God did not show up to God you, sorry, to kill you. Praise God. So, but it looks like say you are committing sin. See, anytime we misinterpret a Bible text, a major truth is what? Is lost. Are we together? Look at Exodus. Look at Deuteronomy quickly. Look at something in Deuteronomy. Well, Jesus answers the relationship question, the marriage question, with what? The image of God, right? Right? So, that shows that the image of God is God's answer to fixing human relationships. We've said that exhaustively. I mean, exhaustively. Are we together? I don't want to go over those texts. in Matthew 22, Matthew 22, which was that the text we started this series on? We used Matthew 22 the first day we started this subject. Right? Go back to the first part of your notes. Some of you have used like 10 higher educations. I don't know who taught you, but it's fine. Even me, I've not used 10. Well, it's okay. Praise God. All right. So we said from Matthew, right? We looked at the Pharisees that came to Jesus tempting him. They came to tempt him again. God knows the issue with those Pharisees. They are just tempters. So he came to Jesus and they asked him. What did they ask him? They said, a lawyer, right? What is the what? The great commandment of the law, isn't it? And then Jesus answered and said what? Thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with all your what? Your mind. With all your what? And we from Matthew 22 verse 1. Is that verse 28? 37 rather. 37, 38. Alright. So thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Your heart. And what? Thy soul. And with all thy. Can we take it again? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy, and with all thy. Now read on the next statement. This is the first and the great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? Read on. On this. It is on this commandment. On this two. Are we together? On this what? Two commandments, and all the law and the what? And prophet. Now, the law and the prophet summary refers to the Old Testament books. So it says the entire Old Testament books hangs on those two. Is it clear? Love. Someone say love. So it says, love the Lord thy God. Then it says, love thy what? Neighbor. Now, when it says the second one is like unto it. That means the second one is the other side of the first. You cannot have the second if you don't do the first. You cannot have the first if you don't do the second. If you have the first and no second, you are not fine. I didn't say you are not healthy. I said you are not clear yet. Did you get it? I need responses. Did you get it? All right. Don't worry. Jesus must have said, did you get it? Also said, so did you get it? Alright. So it takes the law, the commandments of God to Israel. It says two statements or two things. Two things. Loving God, which we later saw as what? Faith in God. Isn't it? And what? Loving thy what? Thy neighbor. Are we together? So it is true. Now, look at James. The book of James. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. Then you have Timothy, Titus, right? Then Philemon, Hebrews, James. Peter, John, and Jude, Revelation. So James, I think it should be in chapter 3. Look at verse 8. Chapter 2, rather. Thank you for the correction. Chapter 2. So James 2:5. Everyone, let's read once we go. I don't open it to James. James is here. That's why I gave you. You think I was doing recitation? I was trying to help you to locate James. Philemon, Hebrew, James. James. The book of James is here. Yes, you got it. James chapter 2, verse 5. Anytime your neighbor is not opening the Bible, inspire the person to open the Bible. Is it clear? That's why you are seated among each other. So that you can say, James. We are in James now. Don't say, James! Don't say that too. We just isolate the two of you in that media box. Are we together? Be Jamesing yourself there. James! No. I think that because it's possible. Someone has done that to me before. Yes, very funny. Which I was now like, what are you two thinking? I was somewhere, it was my pastor's church. I was there that Sunday. I think it was December 2026. It was December 2016, sorry. December 2016. So I just went there, and then, you know, it was my first time in their service, and then I was still, so pastor was teaching, and then, so I was still writing. So they had quoted the text. Pastor had said a lot of things from the text I was writing. So they quoted another text. But before I opened there, you know, it happens to us. So I was still writing. I had not opened to the next one. So by the time I was done writing, instead of me to open, I was now looking like this. They were reading. So very young boy. He's a bit older than you. I just looked at him and I said, do you know me? All right, there. Before you smelled your first Bible, he gave me a jabu on the arm. That's why I need that. If I say where I did, if I say okay, then get that. He just jabbed me. I think it was first Corinthians. I'm not joking. No. He looked at me like this. First Corinthians. So I looked at him and said, before you smelt your first Bible, I read through the entire Bible. Close your eyes. I just took the correction. So it had happened to me before. I mean, I swear to God. That was like that. 1 minute. But I opened the first Corinthians. Are we together? So look at that. So you don't have to do that, okay? All right, just say amen. So James 2. Verse 5. Let's read on. Want to go? Love in verse 6. Verse 7. Now look at verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself, you will do what? Well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as what? Transgressors. Now look at this. He says, verse 10, read on. Now, where do you think James is teaching from? The Old Testament books? Will it be the Old Testament books? So if James is teaching from the Old Testament books, look at verse 10. Want to go? For whosoever shall keep the whole law, wait, be patient. Whosoever shall what? Keep the whole law. So look at this. James says the whole law, then it says the royal law. Wait, what does royal mean? That which presides over everything. Did you see that? That which presides over everything. The royal law. Then he says, if whosoever shall keep the whole law, let's read on, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of what? All. Did you see that? Then he says, for he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Are you paying attention? Look at verse 10 again. Want to go? For whosoever shall what? Keep the what? Old law as what? Offend in one. Is guilty of what? Of all. Is that all the law? Now, look at it. You know, you couldn't be saying that if you lie, you have also killed. You couldn't be saying that if you commit adultery, you have also borne false witness against your neighbor. That's what we have. He couldn't be saying that. But he's saying that if you violate in one, You have violated what? If you will feel all and you violate one, you have still violated what? All. Why? Because it's trying to put your attention in the fact that don't go about trying to qualify on what is written. There is one that if you just focus on it, you will end up not violating any. Are we together? So he calls that one the royal law. The royal law. So look at what he says again. Verse 10. For whosoever shall keep, he says, the whole law, and yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. Because he has broken the law code that binds the whole law. Then he says, but he says, for he that said, do not commit adultery. He says, said also, do not what? Kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become the transgressor of what? Of the law. That means the law is not about adultery or kill. The law is about something. Are we together? That the expression of that sin is now that you will not what? Kill or commit what? Adultery. Are we together? So, he says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, I'm reading it again, yet of any one point, is guilty of all, for he that said, do not commit adultery also, do not kill. If thou commit no adultery, yes, if thou kill, that become a transgressor of the law. So speak you as you, and so do. And he says, I shall be judged by the law of liberty, for he shall have judgment without mercy and show that showed no mercy, and mercy upon justice. Now, if you look at verse 8 again, if you fulfill the royal law, are we together? The royal law. So what is the royal law? Thou shalt what? Love thy brethren. So in other words, if I walk in love, I will not kill. If I walk in love, go to that Exodus 20 quickly. Exodus 20. If I walk in love, I will not kill. If I walk in love, are we together? I will not commit adultery. If I walk in love, Exodus 20, everybody. Now, I've explained this to us severally, okay? So, but it's okay to mention. Exodus 20. So it is, look at verse 1, then there was 7. There's 8. Verse 9. Now there's 10. Look at verse 12. Honor thy father and what? Thy mother. He says that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God hath given thee. Now, how many of you know that love work? How many of that love work? If you are told to honor someone, it means the person will do some things that you almost not want to honor. Did you see that? That's love work. Now look at the next verse. Thou shalt not what? Kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Nor his man's servant. Nor his maid servant. Nor his ox. Nor his ass. He says, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Then he says 18. He says, all the people say, alright. So those are the words of the law. So James now is focusing on spiritual growth or the fruit of faith, mentions the part of the law that addresses relation or relationships. Because he's focusing on the fruit of faith. He focuses on the part of the law that addresses relationships. So look at that. In Exodus 20, like we said, the words there are not legalism. They are rather God's plan explained in relationships. They are words that explain God's plan in our relationships. Are we together? Obviously, I've also told you, though that's not my focus, that in the 10 words, you find that the first part of the 10 words are focused on God. For example, look at that text again, Exodus 20. Exodus 20. He says in verse 1, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of what? Bondage." So God makes deposits. Say, God makes deposits. That's it. "So thou shalt have no other gods before me." Is that withdrawal? Huh? You are looking like me. Is that withdrawal? Okay. So it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Is that towards man or towards God? "Thou shalt not make any graven thing, image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Is that toward God or man? Can I have answers? "Thou shalt not bind thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me," he says, "and keep my words, commandments." Are we together? Is that what God or man? Now I know the text makes it look as though God is saying that if you hate me, I'll fire you. But if you love me, but that's not what you see in the text. For example, you're going to see that. Notice that in verse 6, it says thousands of what? Of them. What do you mean by thousands of them? In verse 5, it says what? The third and what? Fourth generation. It now says showing mercy unto thousands of them. Thousands of what? Thousands of generations. Did you see that? So it shows you that the long suffering of God and his compassion outlasts what? His wrath. Did you see that? Did you see that? So it says thousands of them, thousands of generations. Yet it says the wrath is to the third and to the what? And the fourth. So there's something about the character of God there that you will see that really is intention. It is love and compassion. That is his character. Did you see that? His character is the love and compassion that exists for thousands of generations, not his wrath. Not his wrath. And that's just an explanation of the Old Testament setting, that the wrath of God is usually seen on, you know, third and fourth generation. But the compassion of God restores things again, because it will revisit. It will carry out the new creation. Are we together? It will revisit. We look at that at camp meeting. So look at this. He says, in verse, what now? Verse 7. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain." Is that toward God or man? Toward God. "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." Is that toward God or man? 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy maidservant, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, but they will eat, nor thy stranger that is within what? Thy gate. Why? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, he says, and all that is in them is, and rested in the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord had blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Is that what God or man? How I undo the Sabbath is towards God. So verse 12 down to verse 17, he now began to mention what you do toward man. So James is focusing on verse 12 to verse 17. Are we together? Because verse 12 to verse 17 is a fruit of verse 1 to verse 11. It's a fruit of faith. So James, focusing on spiritual growth, calls the royal law the summary of all of this, which is loving thy neighbor. Where did James get that hermeneutics? 2. Number 1, James is a teacher from the Old Testament books, but James is a disciple of Jesus. Did you see that? So James, teaching from the Old Testament, will have the hermeneutics of Jesus. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? James, teaching from the Old Testament books, obviously, but with the understanding, the Old Testament understanding given to them by Jesus himself. So quickly again, he says, to take the name of the Lord in vain, or not to take the name of the Lord in vain. Sin is not referring to shouting God's name anyhow. Are we together? Are we together? Notice that he spoke about Sabbath. Sabbath. So taking the name of the Lord in vain, taking the name of the Lord in vain, is in the same body of text with what you do toward God. What you do toward God. Yes, it will be relational, but it has to do with what you do toward God. Let's back up a little bit. A little bit. Genesis 1:26, again, he says, let us make man what? In our what? Image. After our what? Likeness. Okay? Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. How many times does the word image appear here? 3 times. Did you see that? Emphatic. The word tell him 3 times. Makes mankind in his image. I told you, from the word Telem, I feel like having someone explain. So I'll just go by it. We said Telem is from an Akkadian language, Akkadian culture, Akkadian word, or Akkadian practice. You know, the Tsalmu, right? Right? T-S-A-L-M-U. Tsalmu. And I told you that the ideology behind the Tsalmu is the ideology of an image. Now, the image is a concrete stature. Are we together? But that's not just all to the image. But the image is actually a concrete stature. But in the Akkadian, are we together? Or the Mesopotamian world, in the Akkadian environment, the culture, they believed that the concept of the Tsalmu is much more than a concrete image. They actually believe that the Tsalmu has the ability to come alive. Now, it's an image, a concrete structure. Are we together? And I told you that the concrete structure is usually created or made to represent, you know, either the deity that is being worshipped or the king. The king. The Tsalmu is created to bear the image of a supernatural being, the deity which the people worshipped, or to bear the image of the king. So what they do is that after building, you know, I didn't prepare that. I would have had the media team show us what I'm talking about. We'll do much of that next year, okay? All right. So after building the concrete, what they do is that they have series of rituals that they perform around the concrete, around the statue. And when they perform in that Akkadian culture, when now, obviously, the Akkadian culture is also one of the cultures that fed, you know, the Egyptian culture, which also fed the Israeli culture or the Jewish culture. Are we together? Like God, many times, had to use what they were used to communicate this counsel. Is it clear? So they took their language from it. So you see a whole lot of the Akkadian culture in the Jewish language and practice. You see that? So, in the Jewish language, you see the word Salem, right? I'm now showing you where Salem came from. The Salem is taken from the understanding of the Tsamu. You know, I'm deliberately using T, but it's actually Samu. The T is silent. Samu. You know. So, the Samu we said is a concrete, right? 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 The Samu is a concrete. Can you get something like that there? Maybe a Samu online. And then put it on, let's say. Alright. So, the Samu is a concrete. If you don't find it, it's fine. Or if you don't think it looks like what I'm talking about, then it's not. Alright. Yeah. So, the Samu is a concrete. Are we together? And then, so when they build the concrete, what they do is that they now carry out some rituals. So through the rituals, they believe that the supernatural being actually comes to possess that structure. And having possessed the structure, they can relate to the supernatural being through that what? Concrete that they created. So here they clearly, the concrete, the Samu is not the being. But the Samu is like a portal, an access point to interact with that what? Supernatural being. Are we together? Now you also see much of that in the Yoruba cultures also, the creation of idols. So they come and say that they are doing a Zeosonyi, that they are talking to those creatures. See, those idol worshippers, they are smart. They know that it is not this structure that gave them children. But they are interacting with that supernatural being through the what? The structure. See, all of those came from the Akkadian world. Thousands, several thousands of years ago. It's human culture. Is it clear? That's why some people say, it is a Siabalayi that we will all go back to. You are the one that will go back then. They say, before Christianity, before... Oh God, just start now. God brought an intervention into humanity. Is it clear? And God preceded all of those things. So the Tsamu is created. And then when they make the Tsamu, the priest now comes around. Is it clear? The priest comes around. So they begin to sing those songs, offer some sacrifices, you know, as directed, as led, as instructed by the who? The supernatural being. So as they perform the sacrifices and they do all of those, you know, initiations and all of that, suddenly the supernatural being manifests itself. But the portal through which it manifests itself is the Samu. So they can interact with you, they can ask you questions, it can respond, they can see the full manifestation of the supernatural being that they have been going after or worshipping through the Samu. So that's the ideology of the Samu. So that Samu is where you have the word Selem, which means image. Did you get it? Again, I told you about the Samu. I told you that the Samu is to show. Okay, so look at what I'm saying. This is the Samu. This is an example. Now, this is not the supernatural being. Do you have another picture? That's the only one you found. There are many of them. Okay, you can't see them on Google. I have to show you how to find them. So look at this. So this is how the Samu looks like. Are we together? Now, this is not the supernatural being they are worshipping. But the people carve this out and they believe that after performing some rituals, according to the desire of the supernatural being, he begins to manifest himself through this image. Yes, they will bow to this image, but this is not what they are worshipping. And they know. You see that in this Oshun, they know. So that's what we call idol worshiping. So when you are reading in Exodus 22, thou shalt not make any graven image. This is what he's saying, don't make. Thou shalt not bow to it. This is what he's saying, should not bow to. Are we together? Are we together? Because God will not create a Samu this way. Are we together? God decides rather, that his own Samu is you. So why will you bow to a Samu? Did you see that? When his own Samu is you. Let us make man in our Samu. Let us make man our image. You can take it away, thank you. Did you see that? Let us make man in our image. So look at this Samu that you're seeing. I showed you that it is a sign of the presence of a supernatural being in a location.
Much more than a presence. Much more than a presence. Much more than a presence. The Samu is also a sign of the dominance of the supernatural being. So like I told you, the Samu is to demonstrate a conquered territory. Is it clear? So when you see the image somewhere, the worshippers are trying to say that this supernatural being has control here. Hallelujah. This supernatural being has control here. This supernatural being is Lord over this territory. So that's why sometimes kings who are humans also use it. When they conquer a territory, they will make the image of that king there. You will see it also in Yoruba tradition. You see this Oromiyan, you see this all of these Yoruba warriors. Some of them, if you go to Ibadan and you are driving around Mokpo, Bere, you will see some statues of those Ogumola, all of those Afonja, all of those guys. See their statues. Those are Samus. They believe that if they perform some rituals, the spirit of that particular guy, I would say, can literally come. You know, something they believe. The beliefs are diverse. The beliefs are that. So it's to mark a conquered territory, or to show that this location is around. Some of those warlords, they will create those whatever they believe that by the time they offer, then when they are going to war, the spirit of that dead warrior can join the warfare. It was supernatural intervention. So that's the thing around the Samu. So God, in making his own Samu, now says it is man. Glory to God forevermore. You. So if you understand that, it is an insult to go and bow to an idol. It is lack of understanding of who you are and of God's plan. Praise God forevermore. Say, I know who I am. Of who you are and of God's plan. So, we said that the Samu shows a conquered territory. So the Samu is now positioned in a shrine. Okay? God puts man on the what? On the earth. Did you see that? So look at me, everybody. Look at this drink and eating. God's intention for the whole earth is that the earth will be like his what? His shrine. The whole earth. Wow. Right? He puts the Samu in the temple. The temple is the shrine. So God puts man where? In the garden. Yeah, I know I said earth. Garden. The garden will now what? Spread. Don't forget the garden is on the earth. Now, if you look at the New Testament book today, the New Testament description of the Samu. Amen. Look at this. The New Testament description of the Samu. Did you think it will be the believer? Now, before I ask that question, the New Testament description, if the New Testament writers understands the Old Testament Samu and God's plan, which is being explained, and the use of Samu to explain God's plan, do you think that the New Testament writer will communicate a corporate concept or an individual concept? Maybe I should ask the question again. If the New Testament writer understands Samu, right? Which is individual. Isn't it? But the New Testament writer also understands God's plan, which is what? Corporate. If the New Testament writer is communicating the psalm to us, the way he goes about describing it, will we get the insight of something that is corporate or something that is individualistic?
Okay, both, right? Both. All right. But there's corporate in what you just said.
So the New Testament description of what Moses is describing as the psalm is the body of Christ.
Did you see that?
So that is corporate, but yeah, also individual, like you said.
Whatever you see in there that makes you say both is right. Are we together?
But it's corporate. It's corporate. It's corporate. So the body of Christ is the New Testament description of what Moses was teaching as the plan of God, as the image of God, the psalm. Are we together? So it is a collective thing. We all will function as God's psalm. Did you see that? And look at this. Just like it started in the garden, which we spread, God is doing his work today through what? Churches, which we spread. So the local church is what describes the Garden of Eden. Dress and keep. Did you get it? Dress and keep. To keep and to what? Dress. What's what keep there? Or the dress there is what? About, right? To keep it is the word Shama. You mustn't forget those words. To guard and to make to flourish. That means the same things, but now everywhere. Did you see that? The same quality. Spreading. It is possible. Are we here, church? So he says, thank you. So he says, the whole earth will be God's dwelling place. That's what Moses is teaching. In a figurative sense. I talk about this in February. That's what he's teaching. Are we together? In the earth or in the nations of the world, God will have his image. So when it says Genesis 1:20, it says, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, God is discussing man. Don't forget, that is what is now collected in Christ, as we said. Right? So man was created to bear his image. Now let's go back to the audience factor again. Because the audience is also the context. So if you look at the audience, who is the audience? Israel. So why is he telling Israel that? Because Israel will champion God's plan for all nations. That means God's plan for Israel is that Israel will model what he wants to do into all the earth. But look at what Israel did. Israel gets up and Israel wants to be like all the world. God's plan is that Israel will model how the whole world will look like. But Israel got up and Israel said, I want to be like what? The world. I don't want to be like the world. Praise God. I don't want to be like the world. I want to be God's model. I don't want to be like the world. Are we together? Is that God's image? Is that God's image? So look at me. Is it lawful that a man put away what? His wife. For every cause.
Where did they get that ideology? From the other nations. So Moses said, be like the model. Be the model, not like the world. So I don't want to be like the world in my relationships. I don't want to be like the world. Selfish, angry, worldly, evil, plotting, jealous, competition, anger, hatred, competition. I don't want to be like the world. So, he says, be the model, Israel. Be the model. Are we together? Are we together? So, God made man to relate with him. It shows you, therefore, that without a supernatural relationship with God, there is no relationship that is of God. Without a supernatural relationship with God, there's no relationship that is of God. There is no relationship among humans. No human relationship will be called of God without a supernatural relationship with God. So when I relate with God properly, I know who I am. Is it clear? Is it clear, church? So hear this clearly. Walk with God first. Is it clear? Walk with God first. Walk with God first. As we walk with God, we will be able to walk with one another God's way. The fruit, the product of walking with God will be a relationship with men which is of God. The fruit and the product of walking with God will be what? A relationship with man, with men, which is of God. Glory to God forevermore. So, can we say that the real human is the image of God? Can we say that? The real human is the man functioning in what? God's image, or as God's image. A dysfunctional human is the one who does not function as what? God's image. See, look at it. Functioning as God's image is what we call spiritual development. Spiritual development. God's image, don't forget, is not I, it is we, humanity. Humanity. So I can say that selfishness is anti-human. Jealousy is anti-human. That is not God's human. If it is not God's human, then it is less than God's human. Bitterness, malice, envy is behaving less than God's human. It's actually inhuman. Inhuman. It is anti-God's human. God's humanity is not selfish. Did you see that? It becomes a model found in Christ Jesus. When it takes on flesh, we now see what he does. So Jesus in his incarnation, or God in his incarnation, the man Jesus Christ, models God's humanity to us. When we see God in the flesh, the man Jesus Christ, we now see how human beings should look like and behave. He becomes the example. And look at it. In the light of our study, in being the example, he immerses his relationships in what? Prayer. So not pray about our relationships. So let me get into that yet. But to not pray about our relationships or for our relationships is to act less than God's humanity. So outside the supernatural relationship with God, what I will have will be less than human. Are we together? Are we together? If you look at John 5, from verse 35 to 47. Matthew 5. You read from verse 30 down to 45 to 47. It says, as your Father. That is, our example is God. If your example is God, then you must learn to fellowship around the example. So in the knowledge of God is the knowledge of who I am. Are we together? Let me open this thought again, and then I'll close, and then I'll conclude it in our next meeting. The text in Exodus then becomes clear. But before then, okay, look at Exodus again. Look at Exodus again. Exodus 20. Taking the name of the Lord. Exodus chapter 20. It says, verse 7, right? Is that verse 7? Is it verse 7, everyone? He says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in what? In vain. So, it makes sense to you now. Wait, look at it. Taking the name in vain. So like I said, or like we've seen, couldn't be shouting what? Shouting what? Or say what? Did you see that? So what's he referring to? Look at Deuteronomy 4. Is this the same audience I asked you? The audience of Deuteronomy, is it the same audience of Exodus? Is it the same audience? Alright. So in fact, you are going to see later on that the book of Deuteronomy is a re-explanation and a breaking down of Exodus 20. 10 laws were now broken into 662. Is it clear? So the book of, because I told you Deuteronomy, you have nomos, then you have deuteros. Deuteros is the Greek word, interestingly. Greek. So a Greek word is used to tie to a Hebrew text. It shows you there's a whole lot of history there. So it's a Greek word, deuteros. When Jesus said the second is like unto it, that word second in Matthew 23 is the word deuteros. So deuteros nomos, the second law, or the represented law, which is the first, the ten. Represented. Are we together? So Deuteronomy is a re-explanation of what? Of what? Exodus. Well, we're going to look at it in another study, because when we now see that the whole Exodus 20 is now love for God and love for man, that means Deuteronomy, including man not wearing what pertains to the woman, are we together? Is love and worship. Worship toward God, love toward man, as an expression of worship toward God, is being presented in Deuteronomy. I don't know, maybe in 2-3 years' time,
we'll take a text, we'll take a study on the books of Deuteronomy. We'll study the entire book. So look at this, Deuteronomy 4. Quickly. So I'll begin to close. Look at something here, then I'll start close. You learning something? Okay. Deuteronomy 4, look at verse 10. It is especially the day that our students, before Lion God and Horeb. Now, I think I had us read this entire text some weeks ago. Read the entire text, the whole chapter. Still in this study. If you have forgotten, I don't know you. When the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Now look at 11. You came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire. Explain the Exodus. Did you see the same audience? Where did this event happen? Exodus. So it's the same audience he's talking to. Good. So he says, you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick what? Darkness. Verse 12. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of what? The fire. Now read on. You have the words of the voice, sorry, the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only you had a voice. And it declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the 10 commandments. Did you see that? Is it the same audience? Thank you. Now read on. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. 14. The Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgment, that you might do them in the land which thou goest to possess it. Take it therefore good heed unto yourselves. Read on. For you saw no manner of what? Similitude. It is the same word, likeness. On the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. 16. Lest you corrupt yourself and make you what? A graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or what? Female. Does it take away human looking idols? Animal looking idols? Look at 17. The likeness of what? Any beast that is on the earth, and the likeness of what? Any winged fowl that flieth inward in the air. That means you will not worship demigods who are the appearance of humans. Neither will you worship animals or supernatural beings in the image of animals. It is no image. Look at 18, everyone. The likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, and the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the world, the earth. That means people who sought interventions of supernatural beings that had made water bodies their geography will start worshipping those supernatural beings with some of what? Creatures in the what? In the water. Crocodiles, large fishes, and all that. He says all of it, no. Did you see that? Did you see that? Because, well, should I talk about it? There are supernatural beings that make the sky, are we together? Their place of abode. There are supernatural beings that make the area that man dwells their abode. There are supernatural beings that make water bodies their place of abode. So when next you see someone going to worship a supernatural being in the water, the person is not stupid. Are we together? The person is not stupid. There are supernatural beings there. Are we together? Where man dwells, you will see, sometimes you see altitudes, mountains. Are we together? Mountains. There are supernatural beings there. I'll teach on that maybe in 6 years' time. There are supernatural beings there. There are supernatural beings in water bodies, in firmament, where men dwell. Are we together?
forests, bushes, bushes. Okay, Pastor, what about trees? They are there. They make those places their dwelling. So he said, they cut a tree, and then the tree was difficult to cut. Is it true? Deuteronomy 4. Are we together? The thing is not true. Okay, we have a lot to study, okay, and oh God, you are sweet. But we'll pray so that as I'm teaching, I don't like. So if there's a tree beside your house, you just hear, you say, but I will not be there. You have a roommate. I want to come and live with you because you are afraid. And then I was talking to someone some days ago about water in their village. And he was like, ah! So as I was talking, he was like, ah! They are there. Are we together? But we have the name of Jesus. We don't. The work of ministry is not denial. Are we together? It's a superimposition of authority. That's like when you go to some villages. I've been to some villages before on outreaches. And you know that you did here. But we also did. Are we together? Remember when I went to serve somewhere in the east? He said there's a particular water like that. We went there. And you know that. Because you see some, another outreach you went to. Before we got to, it's okay. Deuteronomy 4, please. Deuteronomy 4, everybody. All right. So what do we see? So he said, the likeness of anything that what creepeth on the ground. You know, he likes story. And likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the world. Yet, let's read verse 19. And let thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven. And when thou seest the sun and the moon and the and even what? Shouldest be what? So you see that obviously, I don't know why I'm mentioning this now. But obviously it shows you that there are supernatural beings in charge of the moon. There are supernatural beings that God has given the office of government around the sun to them. And the celestial bodies. Are we together? Now definitely you look at the old wisdom. The olden day wisdom. You know that they were men. You know they were astrologers, right? Right? And the astrologers knew about the several planets. You know it's not just your science that your telescope. These guys knew. They knew the orbit. They knew the vastness of the universe. Are we together? Your science that you have today is a revisit. Real science has gone before the earth. Wait. Real science. Are we together? So he says that in your discovery of creation and your understanding of the supernatural world around creation, nothing should make you to start worshipping supernatural beings that are related or that have been found in association with the creation. Are we together? We'll just ask someone that time. So look at this. He says, verse 19 again, let's take it. Once you go, and let thou lift up thine eyes unto what? Heaven. And when thou seest what? The sun and the and serve them. See, They knew that they were not serving natural elements, the supernatural beings, which the Lord thy God has what? Divided unto all nations under the what? The whole heaven. See, later on, we are going to come back and look at the word the host of heaven. Because you think that the host of heaven refers to the sun and the moon, you just mentioned, and the stars. The host of heaven. The host of heaven has a connotation in scriptures. And host is used for living beings. So when it says you look at the sun and the moon and the stars, it says that there is an insight that goes beyond scientific discovery. It's a looking into the supernatural world. Are we together? Because the audience that Moses is talking to had a supernatural understanding of the creation. So he mentions the host of heaven. Then look at the next thing he says. He says, but the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of iron furnace, even out of Egypt. He says, to be unto him what? As you have this, they see a people of inheritance is another way of saying his image. Because inheritance has to do with responsibility. A people who will, when he says a people of his inheritance, it means a people who will represent him. Do you get it? Now take 20 again. But the Lord God, Lord has taken you, brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people that will represent him, as you are this day. Did you see that? Did you see that? As you are this day. So what does that show us? Quickly, we will see Israel being described as a people of God's image. So he says, do not carve out idols, create images. Does it include using dove to represent the Holy Spirit? No offense or attack intended, though. Are we together? What does it include? Well, what about cross of Jesus? Well, are we together? No offense intended. Alright? But it says don't use anything to represent me. That's what God is saying. Don't use anything to represent me. Does it include bread and wine? Answer me. Don't use anything. Don't use anything. Look at me. Don't use what? Anything to represent me. Who is his representative? You are. So that's what I told someone. He said, must eat Holy Communion. He said, what about when we add Holy Communion and people go healed? How are you sure that's God's intention to heal the people? Between the Holy Communion and the laying on of hands, which one looks like the image of God? Do you get it? Which one looks like the image of God? Hallelujah. So God does not use a tselem that is made by man. Man will be God's tselem. You and I are meant to function for God. That is what Moses tells Israel. So when he says, yeah, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6, the Lord your God is one, he's still talking about the distinction of God's plan and the worship of God. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 26, I begin to close. Paul says that salvation through Jesus Christ, look at Romans chapter 3, everybody. Romans 3.
Glory to God forevermore. In Romans chapter 3. Amen. And verse 23. It is for all have sinned and have come short of the what? Of the image of God. The word glory there means the fullness, the intention. So sin is to act less than God's human. Did you see that? That is the origin of sin. To act less than God's human. So, by the time you go into the New Testament books and you see this and this, Paul said a point that you have sinned against somebody's conscience, and you're like, I can take meat now. I know you can take the meat. I know we have this consciousness that there is no idol. Valid. I know God is above all and He has given things to eat and to enjoy. I know you have knowledge and conviction. But hey, the eating of it, is it love work? If it is not, you have acted less than God's human. You have sinned against another man. So he says, don't let your liberty, are we together? Your good rather, be evil spoken of. And don't let your liberty lead to the ensnaring of another. So salvation restores God's humanity, or restores humanity to the image of God, the body of Christ. Oh, we have that teaching in 2027. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Are we together? So if you look at Colossians 1, you see Colossians 2 talks about the fullness of God dwelling in Christ bodily. The fullness of Christ dwelling in Christ. The fullness of God dwelling in Christ bodily. For it pleased God that the fullness of Him should dwell in Christ bodily. He's saying that the body of Christ is the Psalm of God. The body of Christ is the Psalm of God. So we have the same purpose. In the church, we might function differently in the purpose, but we have the same purpose. So before you start saying, this is my ministry, that one is my ministry, you need to understand the plan. Find out the plan. Glory to God. So, he says in Exodus 20, don't bow. Don't worship. Exodus 21. I am the Lord which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. He calls the land a house. Thou shalt have no gods, no other gods before me. And since you don't have any gods before me, does the next statement now make sense? There won't be any what? Image. Did you see that? So image are because of what? Is the image the God? Is the image the God? Is the image the God? But the image are because of what? Gods. So if he says, thou shalt have no other God before me, he now says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Now, look at the statement of superiority before me. No gods before me. That means every other supernatural being is under his oversight. None before me. That means I'm watching everything. I'm watching all. So none before me.
So the one who is talking here is the creator of all. And since no other gods before me, he says, there won't be image. So thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Are we reading Deuteronomy? Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. So when we read Deuteronomy, we are reading Exodus in Deuteronomy. Are we together? Alright. And when we are reading Exodus, we are going to read it later in Deuteronomy. So it says, that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the water under the what? The earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a what? Jealous God. In the same breath of worship. These are statements of worship. He says in verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in what? Vain. That shows you that taking the name of the Lord in vain is in worship. Is in worship. So to take the name of the Lord in vain is not talking about mentioning it. Are we together? The word take there is the word Nasar in the Hebrew. N-A-S-A. Looks like Nasa. Nasar. N-A-S-A. And Nasar has to do with what you put on. So it means to take on yourself. To take on. To put on. To bear. Thou shalt not bear. Thou shalt not take. Thou shalt not bear upon you the name of the Lord in vain. Is it clear? Now, what is the name? I'll give you some text to explore it next time. In Exodus 23, verse 20, because of our time, look at the word name and report it. Exodus 23, verse 20. Hallelujah. Psalm 20, verse 1. It says the name of God. Are we together? In Proverbs 18, verse 10, it says, it's a strong tower. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Proverbs 18, verse 10. Psalm 20, verse 1. Exodus 23, verse 20. The name is called the tower. Now, another word for tower is tabernacle. The name of the Lord is a strong tabernacle. Hallelujah. And the tabernacle in Exodus, you know, because Moses, Psalms, David and Solomon are teaching from the Exodus. Are we together? The name is not a Genesis fact. It's an Exodus fact. So when it says the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord is an Exodus fact. It's an Exodus language. And when the name was used, as you're going to see, as you read, you search other texts that has to do with the name in the Old Testament books. The name refers to the presence. That is what the tabernacle signifies. The presence of God amongst Israel. The tabernacle signified the power, the glory of God, the personal presence of Yahweh. That is what the ark signified. The tabernacle. The ark. The tabernacle. The temple. The tabernacle, the ark, all signify the name. It means the presence. It deals with the personal presence. The person. So the name of Jesus refers to the person of Jesus. The name of the Lord. So the name is not... So when it says to bear the name, it's not talking about tattoo. It's talking about responsibility. You shall not bear the responsibility in vain. You look at 1 Kings chapter 8. Go read those texts. 1 Kings 8 from verse 1 to 29. Read it. Focus on 26 to 29. Read it from verse 1. Read it. The name of the Lord. Read Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10 to 11. The name. The name. The name will be in the tabernacle. So the name of the Lord is not an alphabet. Is it clear? Is it clear? The name of the Lord is in an alphabet. It refers to his person. So Exodus 20 verse 7, play for me. When it says to bear his name, he's talking about carrying his presence. And who was he talking to? He was talking to the nation of Israel. So thou shalt not bear the name of the Lord in vain. Thou shalt not carry his presence in vain. Because Israel was called by God, and God put his presence on them for a responsibility. Fulfill the responsibility for which you are called. Don't bear his name in vain. Another word for the name of the Lord, bearing his name, is being in his image. It's being in his image. In his image. In Matthew 6 verse 9, it says, hallowed be thy name. That is, hallowed be thy dwelling place. So in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, representation. Right? Right? Man will be a sign of a conquered territory. Man will be a sign of a conquered territory. So to bear his name in vain, we're going to see much of that in the next session, is to not function in his image. Does that text apply to the church today? Huh? Don't be a Christian by name. Yeah. Our responsibility is to take up his name, to bear his name, to be in his image. If you look at Exodus 28, from verse 29 down to 36, you see that the high priest also was to bear the name of the people. I'm going to explain that later on. Exodus 28, verse 29 to 36. The high priest Aaron was told to bear the name of the 12 tribes on his vesture, on the priest's garment. The 12 tribes, their names will be there. Why? Because he represents them. So to bear the name of the Lord, to take up his name, is to represent him. So Moses is instructing Israel to function in the image. Are we together? To function in his image. As we enter into the new year, the Lord is helping us more. To function in the image of God. Don't forget we said that the New Testament description of what God had asked the Israel, nation of Israel, to fulfill is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, of course, in his fragments and his assemblies, which is the local assemblies. The Word Life believers come to church is one of them. We will bear his name. We will not bear his name in vain. We will function in his image. Well, and that's what our meetings in the year, like we said a few words of prayer earlier before I started teaching this morning, is about. Every meeting will be toward that. Every ministry and ministering in the year will be toward that. We're going to focus on being the image, bearing the image, bearing the name, doing the image of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. As we'll see later on, that is what we call holiness. Holiness is not to be saved. It is because you are already saved. Because holiness is bearing his name. Holiness is functioning in his capacity. Functioning in his stead. What is holiness? Preaching the gospel is holiness. As we preach the gospel, it is holiness. When we cast out devils, it is holiness. Hallelujah. When we walk in love, it is our holiness. Look at what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 12 verse 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall what? See the Lord. That means people cannot know how God looks like when you don't walk in love. You know, he says, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. He's not saying that holiness, without holiness, you will not make heaven. You are the one that read the text that way. That's not what the writer is saying. Follow peace with all men, that is holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. People can't see God in your conduct,
when God's peace, love walk is not being manifest. This year, I reflect the Father. In ministry, in conduct, in commitment, in devotion, in generosity, in preaching, and ultimately, the life of our study, in my handling of relationships, I pray, I study, I give, I'm given, I go, I give myself to be trained, I train, I teach, I am taught, I allow myself to be prayed for. I don't leave the assembly that prays for me. Every pressure to leave the local assembly that prays for you this day, the power of God will break it off. It is a duty to stay in those relationships. I don't leave the assembly that prays for me. I don't leave the assembly where I'm made to pray for people. I don't leave the assembly that teaches me God's word. I don't leave the assembly that God has planted me. I don't leave. I cannot be detached. God has planted me. Hallelujah. I'm in fellowship with the Father. I'm in fellowship with the Son. I'm in fellowship with the Spirit of the Lord. Let's take this. Hallelujah.